don't know if you know this, but every Sunday morning before church, Ray Wingfield calls me to pray for me and for our church service together. He used to do that back in pre-pandemic mode here, and then every Sunday through the pandemic, he's called me to pray for us, and I'm very grateful for that. Yeah, I think that God has done some really good things in our midst on account of his prayer. And, you know, Ray likes to give me a little mini sermon before we pray, which is always good and helpful. And to be honest, sometimes what he has said has made his way into a prayer or something, which is the case today. He said something last week that I thought that's really helpful. And so, Ray, I'm going to quote you here again today. So thinking about last week, Romans 7, where we talked about this struggle that we experience, Ray said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need a tiebreaker." And he's right. In terms of our experience as Christians, the spirit may very well be willing. Our internal spirit, our heart's desire may be to honor God, and yet sometimes our flesh is weak. We do the things we don't want to do, as Paul would say in Romans 7. And so we run into this tie, right? The spirit, the flesh, who is the tiebreaker? Who is going to break that tie and be our secret weapon? The answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the tiebreaker who makes all the difference. Now, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, I know that it's possible to go to a couple of extremes. On the one side, I think, is the lady at my ordination, which turned out to be way more charismatic than I expected, who was like grabbing my belly going, "Feel the Holy Spirit!" I'm like, "Lady, that is not the Holy Spirit that you are feeling. Please stop touching me." So weird. So you can go to one end, I think, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, but then you can go to the other end and not think about the Spirit at all. And I think that that's a danger as well. The Holy Spirit is God, just as much as Jesus is God, just as much as the Father is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And I often think in terms of ABM, architect, builder, mover. So the Father is the architect. He builds the plan, sets up the plan of salvation. Jesus, the Son, is the builder. He is the one who put it into practice. And then the Holy Spirit is the mover who helps us to live in this salvation that the Father planned and the Son secured. Here in our chapter today, Romans 8, Paul tells us about some of the ways that the Holy Spirit works in our lives, some of the ways that the Holy Spirit enables us to live in that salvation. So we are going to look together at Romans 8. Turn with me to Romans 8, if you would. I would like to highlight for you three ways that the Holy Spirit helps us to live to live out our faith, to apply our faith. And I'll just tell you them right off. We're just going to cover Romans 8, 1 through 27, and then next week we'll look at the rest. But the Holy Spirit helps us to be holy. That's the first point we're going to look at. Second, the Spirit helps us to be children of God. And thirdly, the Spirit helps us to pray. Those are the three ideas that we're going to see in Romans 8 today. The Holy Spirit helps us to be holy. Holy Spirit helps us to be children of God. Holy Spirit helps us to pray. So, first, the Holy Spirit helps us to be holy. When we come to faith in God, when we turn from sin and turn to Jesus, God makes us holy, full stop. Part of the process of justification, that is being made right, going into right relationship with God, is that God wipes away our sin and makes us holy. We are wiped clean by what Jesus did on the cross. The only problem, though, is that sometimes, because of where we come from, because we're so used to living in the flesh, We go back to the way that we used to do things. And so we end up doing the things that we don't want to do. We go back, as I think it's James says, like a pig likes to go back and wallow in the mud. We run into then this dilemma that Ray mentioned last week. You know, our spirit is willing. Our heart's desire is absolutely to live for God, and yet the flesh, it is weak. And so, who is going to break the tie, right? When my new nature's desire is to live for God, and yet my old nature's desire is to just do the things that I want to do, who can break that tie? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes to help us both to live in the holiness that we already have and to help us to grow deeper in holiness. Without the Holy Spirit, our sinful nature just takes over, and it leads us away from God. You can see that in verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Stuff like its own glory, its own convenience, its own pleasures, right? Those who set their mind on the sinful nature will want those things. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Now this is interesting. Verse 7, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Before I knew God, this was me. Before you knew God, this was you. Unable to please God in any way because my heart was oriented fundamentally away from God. But that's not true anymore. You know, our spirit may be willing and the flesh may be weak, but you know what? The Holy Spirit, God has given us the Holy Spirit to break that tie, to do what the Spirit, our own spirit, our internal desires want, and what our flesh cannot do. Paul says in verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And just a quick aside, if you have turned from sin to follow Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is in you. This is not a case of, well, you've trusted Jesus and you've been saved, but now you have to have the further experience of the Holy Spirit. Jesus pours the Spirit out into us. When we believe, it's a one-stop shopping, if you were. When we come to faith, the Spirit comes in and takes up residence in our heart and cleans out the garbage and helps us to live in new and God-honoring ways. If you have trusted in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is in you. And he is there to help you to be holy, to get rid of the stuff that is inconsistent then with who you are now. In fact, Paul says, verse 13 there, if you keep on living according to the sinful nature, well, then you will die. But if by the Holy Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. The Holy Spirit helps us to be holy by putting to death those misdeeds. What does that look like? Well, first, this I think shows us how seriously we should take our sanctification. You know, a couple of weeks back, we asked the question, if I'm a sinner saved by grace, should I go on sinning? Of course, the answer is no. This says just how serious that is, right? This shows us how emphatic that no is. You need to put to death the misdeeds of the body, right? Not tolerate them, not deal with them when it's a better time, not half-heartedly usher them out by the Spirit of God. Put them to death. What kind of misdeeds are we talking about here? Well, you probably know the unique deeds of your body that you specifically struggle with. but broadly speaking, Paul is calling us here to put to death anything that's counter to God's character. Right? C.E.B. Cranfield, writing in the 60s, wrote, the activities or schemings of the sinful flesh, of human self-centeredness and human self-assertion, Any kind of self-centeredness is the kind of misdeeds that the Spirit calls us to put to death. How do we do that? Well, I think that we lean on the Spirit to change how we think and feel and act towards sin. Right? The Spirit, we need to let Him change the way that we think about sin. When we were led by the sinful nature, we didn't really think much of it. It was neutral, positive, maybe neutral. It was just this thing. It was whatever we wanted to do, and that's just what it was. And yet, the Spirit now, renewing our mind, has made us say, wait, these are things that are against God's nature. They are terminal in their direction. And they're a waste of time. They are not something that connects me to God. Rather, these sins are actually things that separate me from the source of goodness, the only source of goodness in all of the universe. When we start to think about sin that way, then it changes the way that we feel about it as well, right? We stop wanting it and we start hating it. You know, things that were once enjoyable become sour and frustrating. I know that's true for me. Things that once I thought were wonderful and good, all of a sudden now it's like, why would I do that? Which then, of course, changes your behavior. Because if you see something as sin and feel awkward towards it or uncomfortable or you hate it, then of course we're not going to do it, right? We will sin less, we will resist more, we will snap at our coworkers less, envy them less, become less selfish, become more other-oriented. When we sense the pull of temptation, rather than just giving in, we'll ask the Spirit to help us to resist. The Holy Spirit helps us to be holy. Now that itself, in and of itself, is pretty good. God gives us His power to become more like Him. But God doesn't just do that. The Spirit's presence doesn't just mean that we have a tiebreaker in the struggle against spirit and flesh. The Spirit's work in us means that we are children of God. The fact that the Holy Spirit is at work in us means that we are children of God. You know those little the little rapid COVID tests, right? The presence, I know them well too well. The presence of that little red line across the bottom says that there are COVID antigens there. Is that right? Yeah, okay. I've got my doctor wife here. The little red line means that there's COVID antigens in the solution there. The desire to flee from sin indicates that the Holy Spirit is in you. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, then that means that you are a child of God. Look at verse 13 and follow the logic. If you live according to the sinful nature, okay, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That means if you are willing to be led by the Spirit, then the Spirit lives in you. And if the Spirit lives in you, that means that you belong to God. And according to verse 14, you don't just belong to God, you are a child of God. You are a son or a daughter of God. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we are His children. Look at verse 15. For you do not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The relationship that God calls us into is a parental, familial one, and not like, Down Abbey, stiff upper lip British show where, whose father, you still need to say a line from each other. I'm really sorry. God is the kind of father who gets down on the floor and rolls around with his kids and actually listens to them deeply. in the middle of the night when Anna calls out because she's had a nightmare or something, and she says, "Daddy, come." In an instant, I come, right? That is the sort of relationship that God has with us. That's the spirit that the Spirit of God puts into us, the spirit that calls out, "Abba, Father," this intimacy that we can have with God because he made us his children. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. Verse 16 is so cool. The Spirit himself testifies to our spirit that we are God's children. It's like the Spirit is in us every moment, every day to remind us, you are a child of God. You are valued by God. In a world where everybody feels pressure to prove themselves and show how valuable they are, the Spirit of God in us says, look, the God of the whole universe calls you a precious child. He is your Father and loves you. We are heirs of God, co-heirs of Christ, and the Holy Spirit helps us to live as his children. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. I'm sure that you have had a situation where you just didn't know how to pray. I certainly have. You know, when it's so complicated or dangerous, nuanced, things that we just don't understand how we ought to pray, that I lack the words and the wisdom and the insight to pray meaningfully. Well, the Holy Spirit helps us with that too. Look at verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. When we lack the words to pray, the Spirit of God himself intercedes for us. Right? Twice over, Paul says the Spirit intercedes for us. He prays with intensity and urgency on our behalf. And we know that the Spirit's prayers are good, the Spirit's prayers are effective, because the Spirit prays with the mind of God himself. And of course, God is going to answer prayers that line up with his will. Which means then that when the Spirit prays for us, the outcomes are better than when we can even pray ourselves. God's good and perfect will certainly be fulfilled in our lives. I'm going to quote one of the commentators that I looked at this week, Grant Osborne, because I think he put it really well. What a joyful truth this is. When we feel that somehow God has forgotten us, at that very moment, the Spirit is closer to us than at any other time. As we groan in our infirmities, the Spirit himself intercedes with groans that words cannot express. Far from being unaware of our troubles, at that very moment, the Spirit is entreating or petitioning God more deeply than we ever could. These intercessory groans are an expression of the Spirit's deep love and concern for us, and they are the Spirit's own words that are, in a sense, too deep even for us to pray. Our own prayers are insufficient, for they are finite and ignorant of God's true plan. But that is the very source of our comfort, he writes. While we do not know, the Spirit does. And he is praying more deeply for us than we could pray for ourselves. The Holy Spirit helps us to be holy. The Holy Spirit helps us as children of God. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Well, let's just wrap up by thinking about how we can act on this in our everyday life. I can imagine that someone might hear this and say, well, that's great, but I've never sensed the Holy Spirit helping me to be holy, or I've never felt the Spirit telling me that I'm a child of God, or I've never had the Spirit help me to pray. And I would respond, well, have you taken the time to ask him for your help? Or to quiet your heart to recognize the way that he has been working. These are things that we need to turn down the volume on the world on, in order to sense the Spirit at work in our lives. That being said, I don't think that we should get so caught up in the subjective feeling of the Spirit moving that we miss out on the objective reality that God is always at work. Right? You know, when we go on a roller coaster or do some exercise and work out, you can feel your heart pumping away. If your heart is pumping that fast, you may have a problem. But, you know, those are great feelings, right? The adrenaline gets going and you feel your heart pumping. You don't need it to go that fast to know that your heart is working. Same with the Spirit. The Spirit is constantly working in our lives. He is constantly helping you to combat sin. He is constantly telling you that you are a child of God, that you are loved and valued by Him, if you're willing to listen. And He is constantly praying when you lack the words. Trust Him in that. Partner with Him in that. Let's take a few minutes here just as we close to still our hearts and to listen to the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we know that you have been sent by the Father to be our comforter. You have been sent by the Spirit to lead us into all truth. You have been sent to remind us of everything that Jesus taught. You have been sent to help us to grow in holiness, to help us as we pray, to remind us that we are beloved children of God. Thank you. I pray that you would still our hearts day by day to remind us that you are with us. Enable us to hear and to sense your work. Make us sensitive to your moving in our lives. Spirit, that we may rely on you and to partner with you in what you are already doing. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to relate to you truly the way that we should. May we never caricature you, Spirit, but may we forever lean on your power and your strength in us to become more and more godly and Christ-like day by day. We ask for your work. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing in response.